This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in sports, I'm your host, Kenneth Vience. Joining me on the show, we have Shelton J.
What's happening?
And Spike Lou.
What up, though?
What up, Drink More Water? Welcome to the show. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in to the best sports talk show at night. We thank you guys for sharing the show, hitting the like button, leaving comments, and the thumbs up button. Every damn thing that we need to hit the algorithm. We have some things to discuss. Nick isn't here, but he put together a good outline. Spike is going to walk us through. And, you know, the one thing he didn't do correctly, you know, and he don't have a career in journalism and stuff like that. But, you know, it feels like it's fairly obvious. You don't put the topic of the last few days at the bottom.
Right.
You know, you don't bury the lead. That's a saying for a reason.
Yep.
All right.
So, let's get into it, man. Y'all see the title.
Yes, classless ass people. That's what we'll start with, man. Over the last couple of days, the most sports talk that we've probably ever experienced in history around women's basketball.
Yeah.
Shout out to the LSU women and winning the national title. Shout out to Iowa and Caitlin Clark and the Great White Hype. The most important thing, us being black journalists and having a platform to talk about it, I want to hear from you two guys on the reaction that you had from the backlash that Miss Reese was getting from LSU on what she did once they secured everything. It had nothing to do with the game, but this was the most talked about thing. So you in the group chat going hard. Give me your thoughts.
Man, I thought, you know, when they talk about classes, I thought that the reaction overall was just classes. And I felt like, you know, it was a blemish on an otherwise awesome tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was disappointed because, you know, my Lady Gamecocks didn't pull it out. But, you know, that's not here nor there.
42 straight, right?
Yeah, they lost. And it happens. It happens. But I was happy for Flajay and Miss Reese and all those girls, man. I really did think that they were a dominant team when it mattered the most, and they got it done. But once again, the point remains, there was not much talk about the game and more talk about this one little incident at the end. And what I said in the chat is quite simple. If you played a sport in your life, and I have, I'm sure y'all have, and y'all watching have as well, it's competitive out there. We don't know what was being said between those young ladies on the court. We don't know what was going on. Just like in the NBA now, there's trash talkers all day. And Caitlin Clark, from what I understand, is one of the best trash talkers out there. So that seemed more personal than anything else. But once again, it's just a moment. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk, like you said, is the most watched game, women's game
ever.
Of all time.
Ever. Mm, yep.
Now you've
ever.
Turned some folks off, including me. Like, I don't even want to see this no more. Like, if South Carolina's not playing, I'm not watching no more. That's just how I felt after all this attack and stuff happened. It just, I mean, and I said that out of anger, of course, at the time.
He was in the field.
Yeah, I was. I was mad.
I knew it when he said it.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to hear this. Like, and it was embarrassing. It was literally embarrassing. And it shows you how white media is and I'm calling them out because that's what it is. They look at them, and they've always looked down on those players. And it's a difference. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole difference.
Yeah. I was at my in-laws when I left here recording Sunday. And I didn't watch the game because I was recording. Saw everybody talking about it. And then, to be honest, like, you had been telling me about Caitlin Clark and how dope she is. I'm like, I'm going to check her out. Give me a chance to see what she's about. And but outside of that, I really didn't care about women's basketball at all. But this definitely caught my attention. And I saw the reaction. I was like, okay, let me see what the hell's going on. And, but before I saw the reaction, I said, I saw the crown me. I saw the can't see me thing. I was like, oh shit, she talking shit. and I thought it was fine. Cause I thought it happened in the game. I didn't know what happened after the game. Mm-hmm. But I was like, let me watch the game. Let me see what happened. Let me get some context, some game context. And, the game was thrilling. And when I pulled it up, like I had texted y'all, I was like, oh shit, this wasn't even close. They whooped their ass. Like, they were dominant.
Yeah.
When they went up by 10, they pretty much damn near had a comfortable lead, even though I would cut it down to 7, I think, when they went on a run. But they were like, they told the coach, they were like, don't worry about it, we got it. And they went back and reestablished their dominance and, you know, won running away. And I was like, man, they just destroyed them. Caitlin Clark was shooting threes like she was fucking the white Steph Curry.
That's exactly
right. And I was like, what are you doing? Because she started out hot, 14 points.
Yeah.
She got in foul trouble. Nobody's talking about that text she threw. Mm-hmm. And then it, you know, it kind of happened. So Keith Olbermann and Dave Portnoy and stuff like that. And for me, this is just, our eyes work. All black starters, all white teams.
All white starters.
You guys were all white starters. You guys were talking about the South Carolina matchup and the optics of that. Mm-hmm. And when they beat a team that had been dominant all year, and I talked to BB, undefeated, and told me all how dominant they were, you know, this was their great white hope. Mm-hmm. And that saying that I'm saying is not to diminish her game, because she can play. It's she to can. Diminish what America perceived and wanted out of her. This great white darling going up against all these monkeys and thugs and barroom fighters.
Yes.
Like as Staley responded to. Yes. And they did not like that they were showing up. First of all, they didn't like that they were getting their ass whooped and got the ass whooped. So when you get dominated and beat like that after beating a team that won 42, you probably think you're going to beat them.
Yeah.
When you get beat and dominated, not close, you didn't win by 4 or lose by 4.
Mm-hmm.
You got dominated. And shout out to, what's her name, Jackson Carson?
Mm-hmm.
She was on fucking, she got me hyped, bro.
Yeah.
She got me hyped.
Yeah.
When she hit that one and started running up, I was like, oh, mm-hmm, shit. But when you get dominated like that, you jump to the refs, but fouls were bad on both sides.
Yeah.
Because Angel Reese was in foul trouble.
And
then what else you got left? Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate. Angel Reese gave them something to pick and use against them. You know, and when I saw it was after the game, I understood why it was being said and why they used that, because they can't say that Caitlin did it when she was going to the bench. Right? It is how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't directly at anybody. It wasn't after the game. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. And I get all that, because those are the facts. It is. So your perception and how you perceive it would determine, you know, the whole your outlook on that. So I get it. But this was much deeper than that. And I think that's what people are missing. This, at the end of the day, I think blacks and whites are like fucking Bloods and Crips, bro. You know, it's just angels and fucking demons.
You can't never hide it. It's always
going
to come
out. We just always going to be beefing, bro.
Yeah.
And so when it happened, when I say it's deeper than that, it's Angel Reese talking about Caitlin waving off somebody else in another team.
Mm-hmm.
And Angel Reese hearing the comments that's being directed at them. Angel Reese seeing them talk about Caitlin and being the queen of clapback and stuff like this and everything about them. It's all of that built into it that led to that moment that mm-hmm. she had. And that's what it is. And, you know, these are I'll stop there, Luke, because I want to hear what you got to say. But there's definitely more to be said.
I don't think it's the same thing, to your point.
Okay.
When Clark did it, walking off the floor, and when Reese did it, it was different. It was taunting. That's fair. I have no problem with someone saying that. But when you get a Keith Olbermann saying, oh, she's a classless piece of shit, or the Dave
mm-hmm. –
they wouldn't resort to that when they would if they were talking about Caitlin Clark, even if she did do something unsportsmanlike. She could do the exact same thing, and I'm not saying this is the same because I see the differences, like you said, Ken. Of course, what Reese did, it was during the game. It was taunting, but that's fine. There should be a space, like she said, for women to show their passion in the game, and the comfort that the motherfucker Dave from Dead End or Keith Olbermann feel of just calling this black girl just names for what? Like, nobody got hurt from this. It wasn't a fight. It wasn't a brawl.
Mm-hmm.
I won the national championship. Of course, I'm going to be happy. the comfort level that they had in being like, oh, she's a piece of shit or she's classless, that speaks to what you were saying. There's a much deeper conversation mm-hmm. that needs to be had. White media is scared to have it. ESPN doesn't want to have it. I saw Stephen A. Smith. I saw Shaq. A lot of people, to their credit, did clap back at those guys and like, y'all are way out of line. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they were sitting there in front of their little Twitters and TVs and they felt comfortable and calling that girl out of her name, disregarding everything that she had done in that game, the greatness that LXU displayed, mm-hmm. and being like, oh, she's a classless piece of shit, and thinking that we were going to let that fly.
Nah.
That was crazy to me. Mm-hmm. That was probably the craziest thing that I seen from all of it. Like you said, I enjoyed the women's tournament. I think Staley hit on it after South Carolina lost because she was hearing rumblings of this. She seen how they were talking about her team. And for them to get up there and be like, or anyone else, even to Jill Biden saying, oh, well, we should invite Iowa to the White House.
That shit was wild.
It speaks to the discrepancy that we have in America between white and black people. Like you're saying, Ken, it's the Crips and the Bloods. Like, y'all can act like, oh, it's not that. I seen a lot of people saying, oh, it's not that deep. But it is.
It is.
It's that deep.
It is.
Because all she did, like, people taunt in competitive sports, like you said, Sheldon, every day. But to reduce her to a classless piece of shit mm-hmm. and feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
I've been in media, if I'm Keith Olbermann, I've been in media 30 to 40 years. How many people have you called classless pieces of shit?
Right.
For that, that's crazy to me.
And that's a student athlete.
Right. And it's not even a professional.
Right. Somebody's daughter, somebody's child.
Yeah.
I'll say this about white folks. When they own their shit, they don't give a damn if it's somebody's child. And we got history to prove that.
Yeah.
Emmett Till and countless number of black kids that were murdered because they felt a white person was offended. And I pointed to, so Caitlin came out and she said that Angel doesn't deserve the backlash she's getting, that it's all part of the game, blah, blah, blah. Everything everybody's been saying. She also came out and said that the trip to the White House is for LSU, it ain't for them. That's what she said. And of course, the thing is the class and grace attributed
to
her.
Oh, she's such a great girl that she does this.
Yeah. So what I wanted to point that out because historically, these type of things have happened all the time. We're in a different world now. It happens, it's much more nuance, and it happens at the hands of the police oftentimes. But if you just look historically, somebody say something to a white woman, rub their hand, whistle, look down or wrong, here come the white men, you know, with their rifles, their pistols, everything, and they attack the black people that may have done it. It don't matter the sex, it could have been black woman, black man, or black kids. So and then the white woman after a while be like, oh, yeah, well, that, it didn't happen the way I said it was. But at that point, the damage is already done.
Right.
Caitlin could have nixed this out the butt. Caitlin could have said, Keith Olbermann, you're out of line. You need to apologize. She could have called him out.
That night.
Yeah.
That night. I don't even know if she said anything about it yet. We haven't seen anything about it. But she could have easily just went after everybody. Instead of just saying what she's saying, she could have easily attacked Dave and went right back at Keith Olbermann. Mm-hmm. You know, but she didn't, and that's her choice. But
that's the reason when people always say, "Oh, y'all make everything about race," or "Why are y'all so serious about this?" That's the reason, because you have those white men in those positions that feel so freaking comfortable in coming out and saying whatever they want, because they know there won't be any repercussions. They know there won't be any people standing up for them. I'm glad, like I said, that Shaq and what's his name, Ryan Clark, a lot of people from LSU came out and said something. However, the comfort level that they have even in the beginning to come out and say this when she didn't do anything wrong. This is a part of the game. Any other sport, if it wasn't women's basketball, we see taunting like it's a 15-yard penalty and we moving on. Mm-hmm. I don't see classless pieces of shit tweets. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's her name? Lisa Bluter, the Iowa's coach. She deserves some blame in this.
What'd
too,
she say?
That's what a lot of the Dawn Staley comments were directed to. She did a lot of the same things with the thug talk and all that kind of stuff.
She tried to paint that picture before the game.
Yeah, before the South Carolina game. So it's like that narrative is always there. It's always a different type narrative for the different color athletes, yep. so to speak.
Especially and, when you're successful.
Yeah.
Especially when you're mm-hmm. a team like South Carolina, we 32-0. Oh, they got to be doing something illegal. They got to be right. doing something over the line because they beating the shit out of us.
And I watched both those two games, and I thought it was kind of ironic that in the first game, South Carolina game, I was upset that Leah Boston got called for a couple fouls. One of them was a ghost foul. I didn't see it. And I'm one of the ones that believe that, you know, stars, we're here to see the stars play. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here to see, Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark go at it. Well, they took that away from me in the first half because Aaliyah Boston was pulled in the first quarter. Second game, we came to see Reese and Clark. Same thing happened again. Out. They took Reese out.
Well, yeah, and Clark.
Yeah. So, well, Clark came later, yeah. but they tried it with Reese, and I was like, man, something going on with this, man. These ghost fouls, and that was, and it clearly wasn't a foul if you looked at the plays. Both the second fouls on both those young ladies were not fouls. So I'm like, maybe the refs are listening to this talk, too.
I think the refs, and shout out to Cal, the refs got lemon booty, man. They froze up in the big moment. The refs did a terrible job in both of those two games of letting them play.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most people that ever watch women's basketball. This is the moment, and y'all are stepping all on it, bro.
I want to see Caitlin. Yeah. I want to see her play. Now, she was missing every goddamn thing she shot.
Yeah, but I want to see her choke.
I want to see her play. And I enjoyed what I had a chance to watch. But I saw a lot of elbows thrown. I think the white girl threw two elbows. The
big
black
white
girl threw
yeah.
one.
Yeah, the big white.
She's big. Yeah, but I don't think they called anything on either one of them. You know, outside of the person, I don't think a flagrant was called, so they kind of let them play. But it looked like clear elbows to me, and it was a rough physical game. I will say that this is what they do, bro. This is what they do. And for people saying that we make everything about a race, we do because it is.
It is about race.
Right.
This is clearly about race.
Yeah, everything is really about race. And I don't mean everything literally, but you guys know what I'm saying.
everything literally.
But there are, but he, Olbermann, apologized. He said, I don't follow hoops, college or pro, man or woman. I had no idea about Clark. Both were wrong. And he said he didn't know that she was mimicking her. So what did he say?
Okay, backtrack now.
But that speaks,
yeah, he's backtracking, but the damage has already been done.
That
yeah.
speaks to our point. Mm-hmm. You felt comfortable not knowing anything about this, seeing a black girl acting out against a white girl, and you felt like, as Mr. Macho White Man, oh, I got to come save her and call her a classless piece of shit.
And think that,
I'm backtracking now.
And to feel like that could fly in your position.
Yeah, like what the fuck makes you think that you can say that about a child yeah. in school, bro? Like, come on.
Yeah, you can't take it back. What's out there is out there. And then that causes everybody to pile on. But even in spite of saying that, he went on to also say Reese was named MVP of the tournament, and nobody will remember that, nor the LSU crown. Just the fact that women's hoops has now achieved parity with the men. Its stars can be classless winners. He still called her classes. Who are willing to overshadow their own team's victories. Now, here's the thing about that statement. No one would have really said or done anything to that if there wasn't the reaction from him and others.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It started with him.
So
they made it big.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they blew it up and made it what it is. You know, it could have just been a thing. You know, basketball players taunt each other all the time. Look at all the shit talking that Steph Curry and LeBron them did after they won titles.
Bro, yeah.
After the game, bro.
Yeah.
Draymond Green and what's the guy from Memphis?
Yeah.
Went back and forth in the news for 2 days.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks.
Right. Dylan Brooks.
Clay is always telling people. Yeah, for all the time. I mean, it happens all the time. It's sports. It's competitive. What do they keep calling it? Sportsmanship? That's cool. Sportsmanship is cool. It is. I ain't got a problem with it. But that's not what I'm here for.
No.
I'm here to win the game. You know, you like Dennis Green so eloquently said, you play to win the game. And we ain't worried about all that other stuff. You know, and I'm sick of hearing it. Like
so
I said,
so what if I offended you? Who cares? Keith Olbermann or
change the channel.
Change the channel.
Yeah.
You just said right. You don't even look at it.
Yeah, you
so
don't
how, why are you so offended?
How did you see it if you don't watch it?
He lied. And why were you watching? You were watching because Caitlin Clark was in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you were watching.
Right.
And then that's what you saw. So he probably had been watching up to this point. Or maybe he tuned in to watch that one game and then saw that he got upset because the little darling lost. But
they tried to say the same thing about Jill Biden too. Like, oh, she don't really know nothing. You watch it for the same reason.
Yeah,
like I said.
Yeah, Caitlyn is a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Everybody tuned in. Fucking, I tuned in to watch Caitlyn.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody on fucking LSU.
That was the white version of Texas Southern. They all white line up.
Yeah.
All white line up. I wanted
to. If Spike telling me this woman back, I need to see this. Mm-hmm. So I tuned in to see it, and then I was like, okay, they whooped her ass. What did they do to beat Caitlin Clark since she's that bad? That's why I watched.
Yeah.
So you know, so she was the draw, and and yeah, so it is what it is. But yeah, Jill Biden, man, I think it's just for something to get that high for her to say that. Once again, this is a very unconscious racist reaction to white people that were offended. And they don't know it. People don't know it or realize that it's happening. But it very much so is when you have the visual optics of it all, and she's tuning in, she's seeing all this stuff, and the white people doing it, white people, and then she saw that. You see color. Jill Biden is old as shit, so she know all about racism.
She knows about it. So, she lived it. Yeah.
So you know that's what it is. So she reacted in the racist way that she know how.
Right.
Let me protect the white girl.
Yeah, and I love the response from the LSU women saying
a joke.
Yeah, they called Angel Reese called it a joke. And said she's not going. I don't know if she's going to take that back and go, but she said basically they were going to go see Michelle Obama.
Yeah, that was
she said,
funny.
Can we come to y'all house?
Yeah, especially since Joe and Obama allegedly are cool. But but it's not going to happen. I hope they do go now that they've withdrawn the invitation and Caitlin says she's not going, which was dope for her to do that. And I expected them to do that. You cannot accept that invitation to White House.
No,
you take your ass up there, right?
You're asking for it.
You look terrible. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they do go. You've earned it. Go and, you know, and enjoy the moment, you know, and let that be what it is. But I'll say that I haven't watched women's basketball in a long time just to get to the game. Man, I might be tuning in, bro.
Bro.
There was one breakaway I think Angel had where I was like, oh, shit, she should dunk this shit. And it looked like she thought about it, but then she tried to pull up and go for a layup and miss badly. But I was like, dang, they not playing like they used to do back in the day.
Man. And to your point, when I was telling you about Caitlin Clark, I tuned in Friday night with the same skepticism that you, because I never watched it either. I just heard her on sports shows that I was listening to. I was like, man, let me see what all the fuss is about. And then I came in here the Sunday and was telling you, no, she is the real deal. So to give her all the credit and to remove the race stuff from it for a moment, she is absolutely worth the watch. When they were playing South Carolina, I was like, this is different. I ain't seen women play like this. Mm-hmm. And Boston and the other, I don't know the big chick's name from South Carolina that plays with Boston, the other post.
Yeah,
the light skin,
yeah, I know you.
Yeah, lady, but they good. They make college basketball entertaining. So shout out to Staley, Clark, all of those ladies that have advanced the sport, because it was entertaining. That was an entertaining weekend.
Yeah, but no, they look better than the men.
Facts.
They look way better than the men.
It was way more interesting
in terms of the game, y'all. Yep. I ain't on that shit, but yeah. I did like Angel Reese's outfit, the little one leg thing.
I like Angel Reese, man. She cute.
Costume.
She gone. Angel Reese is one of my favorite athletes now. She's right up there with the top five favorite athletes like fall. I want me an Angel Reese jersey. I ain't even gonna hold you.
Yeah, man.
She's I posted it, I don't know if you saw it, but she has the most NIL deals.
Yeah, I saw you
athlete.
Seen that. I didn't know that.
That was before everything went down?
Yeah. She's the most popular of them all.
Yep. And she just sent the Nori tweet out. Price just went up. The Fat Joe tweet. The price, yesterday's price is not today's price for Angel Reese. She is definitely the one up.
She did look like Ice Spice. Ain't gonna lie, Jackson Carson. She was lighting their ass up, bro.
Yes,
she did.
Was,
but yeah, they were
man.
Running sets and stuff like that, like smooth with it. I'm like, shit. Y'all gotta start dunking, y'all, man. I know y'all do it. Just start dunking. But yeah, the shooting and everything, all the white girls shoot the same because they all go to the same camp. So they all go to the same camp. They all learn how to shoot the same. And then they send them to play against black people so they'd be ready on both sides. But that shit, I might be watching.
The skill set is a lot higher than
bro.
I'm there. I'm 100%
Shout out to all the black men in high-ranking spaces this is the last thing I'll say, that stood up for these women. Even Stephen A. Smith.
Yes.
Looking at him coming out and Shaq, bro. Shaq wasn't having it.
Wasn't having it. Shaq
said, so is your mother. I think he said that to Dave. Class of the piece of shit. He was like, so is. And then he said, he told Keith Olbermann, I think, to shut the fuck up or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, Shaq.
I liked that the guy stepped up and protected him and wasn't on the fence of, well, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved
Jay Will, all of them.
Jay Will, 100%.
Yeah, Jay Will. Way up there for me now.
Yeah,
that's not his first time. He's
Jay Wilman holding it down.
Man.
Man.
We'll have to talk about that one day.
Yeah.
From there, also the men's Final Four happened last night, and to what we've just been saying, gravely overshadowed by the women, because this was just last night, and we're still talking about Saturday, Sunday at 3:30. UConn wins, blew out San Diego State. It was close for a moment. Mm-hmm. Danny Hurley said Big East basketball is back. I didn't know that UConn went 18-0 outside of the conference, and they beat, on average, every team 24 points or better.
Mm-hmm.
So they were dominating. Hurley's point that the Big East is back and it's the best conference in college basketball. Did you guys enjoy the game last night with UConn and San Diego State?
No. Most didn't. I enjoyed the fact, let me say this, I enjoyed the men's tournament. I know a lot of people talked about it bad. I enjoyed seeing new faces. I enjoyed seeing people I wouldn't have paid attention to otherwise. I did tell my brother at the beginning of the season, though, I thought Connecticut was the best team in the country, but I fell off Connecticut.
Oh, of course you did.
I fell off. I did. You can ask him.
No, but when they ran into conference play, that's when they fell.
I told him, I was like, nah, they don't look like I thought they did. I misread them. I thought I did, but I was wrong on that end because they were that. But Jackson, to me, is a pro. I watched Jackson play. Jackson don't shoot the ball a lot. Not a great shooter. But his instincts and feels for the game is really, really good. Hawkins reminds me of Rip Hamilton. He's a great shooter.
He is, man.
The big man in the post, Sadogo, is a monster down there. They got the pieces. You know, a young point guard that's athletic and gifted. They got pieces on that team that made them get where they are. And I'm not as surprised at them getting there. I think I had them in the final. In the Elite Eight losing in my bracket. But San Diego State, shout out to them for getting there.
Because
they didn't have the talent that they have is nowhere near these other teams that were in the tournament. The ball had to drop just right for them to get where they at. They had to hit the game winner the other night. I think if they hadn't hit that game winner, we just saw a better championship game. But still, you know, still shout out for Fisher and those guys for getting there. Because, you know.
Steve Fisher used to coach 5-5, didn't he?
Yes, he was. That was his first year there.
Yeah, I remember that.
When they were there, but
from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he got those guys. Those guys are ready to play, and they came out and you know, they showed well until that point. Like I said, that game they just looked overmatched, and Connecticut had been steaming through this tournament and steaming through people. It was no different. So that's why the game looked so bad. And these guys, they're penetrators and they get to the basket, but Connecticut took that away, forced them to be jump shooters and. That ain't their strong suit, so it wasn't a good game.
The difference between the men and the women, and the reason why I'm not as interested, is there's no star power. Like, I don't know. Like, those players that you mentioned, they okay, but it's no Caitlin Clark. There's no the lady from LSU that we were speaking of. There was no reason other than being a sports fan to tune into it because, like, none of these – I don't know if any of these guys are going to the NBA – I just don't know if any of them are good enough, and that shouldn't take away from it if it's a good game, but it wasn't a good game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest problem that the men are going to have moving forward just ain't no star power. And there's no way that it's they can't establish any star power either. We're going to talk about the collective bargaining that came out for the NBA where they kept the one and done there, but it just does not – there's not a Caitlin Clark or anything like that that makes you want to tune into the men, that makes it interesting in games like this. When even when you go back and you think of Anthony Davis, who may have had a bad title or championship game, you still wanted to see him in it. Even if he went 0-17 and had 11 boards or whatever it may be, there's still not that player that you tune in and look for and say, like, okay, what does he look like now? Because I know he's going to be the first pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah, I was I got home when I saw the fake Ray Allen lookalike. I guess it's Hawkins. Missed that dunk. But he got to the hoop, man. He made that shit look easy, bro. Like, I was like, God damn, bro.
Man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, when you said rip, I can see it, bro. I was like, damn, bro. I was like, oh, shit, he athletic as shit. But, but yeah, I won't say I enjoyed it, but I was intrigued just to see if San Diego State was going to make that one run to put pressure on UConn to cause them to kind of fold. You know, because I think that's kind of what happened with Alabama. I did watch them beat Alabama. And, you know, they had a tendency to kind of just get hot and make plays in the second half of these games. You know, they're one of the last two to get there by, what, 1 point each?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they got it to within, what, seven? But
yeah.
I think UConn just, like you said, talent just came back and just reestablished the lead. And at some point, it's just – it's insurmountable when you fall down 16 by 16 points, and they got this big ass damn George Murison guy sitting in the middle that for whatever reason this guy kept trying to back down. It's like, bro, what are you doing? That is a wall standing.
It was a wall. Did you see him trying to back him down?
Yes.
I rewound that like three times. Like, look at this dude, man, because he normally he probably worked with other people.
Yeah.
It's just Sanogo was not moving. It was like a little kid. And then a couple of those other plays with the other big guy, the white big guy, I can't think of his name, but, you know, it was like playing with, like, little kids. It was over his head.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing they could do with him.
Yeah, every time. So I'm like, bro, you got to pull him out, maybe try to use your speed, maybe spread. I don't know. I'm not the coach, but
yeah,
that shit ain't working, and it didn't work. So I don't know why you kept trying
whatever
to do that
whatever
you're
doing
shit.
Right now ain't good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. Like I said, they couldn't drive. They couldn't get to the basket. Every time they got past their man, it was somebody waiting on them behind them. Same thing on the offensive end. Like I said, I watch Jackson a lot. Jackson reminds me of a young Draymond Green almost, in a sense, the way he passes the ball. If y'all know, if you watched him on the break, he passed one particular play. He kicked it behind him to the white guy and then set a screen for a three, and it was a three. It was just nice plays. It was Golden State-like. In his movement and passing of the ball. Mm-hmm. That's what he remind me of, a point forward that really understood the game. He can't shoot. He's not a shooter, but he ain't scared of the game. It's not like he's afraid of what's going to happen if he's left open. He'll get to the basket, he'll dunk on you. But the team was just more athletic than – Connecticut was just more athletic, and they just wore everybody out. I predicted Texas was going to win it all. I just thought Texas was going to get there. But – the tournament was fun overall, and there was some stars that were made throughout the tournament.
Who?
Noel, if you watch Noel from Kansas State.
I think he the only one.
He played
I can't remember.
I was trying to look back.
My guy from Kansas State, I will give you him, the guy, the point guard from New York. He definitely made a name for himself.
Yeah, he balled out.
But other than that, even with this tournament, like you said, it wasn't a bad tournament. I'll give you that. But there still was no outstanding performance where I was like, I want to see what – that guy's going to do next year, if he's going to go to the draft, if he's coming back. I'm looking forward to it. Like, there was none of that on the men's side.
I was disappointed by Brandon Miller. The one time I get a chance to watch him, he couldn't make shit.
But 15 points.
Yeah, against San Diego State. I'm like, damn, bro.
Yeah, he had a lot going on, man.
Yeah.
Of course. He did. He definitely did. But Brandon Miller, of course, is declaring. So, again, even when you have someone who has that high stature, I don't have no reason to tune in next year to see him.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, like I said, hopefully you see more of what we saw with the programs of old, like what Duke used to do when they would have the 3 and 4 year players that would stay around and mature into those players.
I'm glad you brought that up. I heard someone speaking about how the transfer portal is going to play into that.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is those mid-level players, they're going to start in year two or three, going to Duke, going to North Carolina, versus the high-end schools recruiting in high school.
Right.
Because they don't have to wait for you to be good if you're not like a top-level elite freshman. We know you're proven on the college level, so Duke, North Carolina, the Bluebirds are just going to start recruiting at the mid-major level and give those players who've been – doing well there, the opportunity at a high level just to come play at Duke or North Carolina.
Correct. It's happening now, and it's happened, you know, as far back. Duke started a long time ago with Seth Curry, bringing him in from Liberty, and that's something that –
stuff just like that, exactly.
Yeah, it's something that it makes sense because, like you said, they're not scared. They've seen the major level and they've been the man. Yeah. So if, to fit into a role is easier for them to.
If I'm Texas or anyone like that, like if I'm your man going to St. John's, what's his name? They used to coach at Louisville. Patino.
Yeah, Rick Patino.
If I'm him, why would I recruit freshmen? Like I don't like Kentucky got the top freshman class. Cool, y'all can have that. I'd get everybody who's was serviceable in the transfer portal. Yeah. I want the highest scoring rebounder, the highest scorer. I want all y'all just to come here and play for me from the transfer portal. I ain't got to go out on the road and recruit. I can get somebody who's already proven, and boom, we just go from there. And I'm going to pay you.
And that transfer portal is wild, too, in itself, because you're seeing a lot of attrition amongst the bigger names, too. Mm-hmm. You got Michigan center, who was like three-time All-Big Ten. He was the guy at Michigan for 3 years. Now he's transferring, hopefully, to North Carolina, by the way. But North Carolina's losing Caleb Love after a couple of stellar years with the Tar Heels. He's moving on. These guys are moving. So you're seeing movement not only from the mid-majors, you're seeing it from the top schools, too. These guys are just shifting teams and going wherever they fit.
It's interesting. And it's
a lot to it, man. It's a lot to even keep your own players. But at the same time, I just hope that they get some type of continuity going. And we see some good basketball. I saw some good games, though. I did see some good games in the tournament, a couple overtime games, and a couple upsets, which that's what I liked about the tournament this year. It wasn't so predictable. I mean, your brackets were busted after the first week, and every game was worth watching because you didn't know who was going to come out and win. Mm-hmm. So it was worth it. That made the tournament worthy for me and made it fun this year. You know,
a lot less predictable with the NIL and transfer portal. It's going to be a lot less predictable just based off the back of the jersey name versus the front of the jersey name. I agree with that.
And I thought it would have been crazy if San Diego State had won the national championship. I really was like – I mean, it was cool that Connecticut won, and I deservedly so. I like the team. I like the coach. I like them. But to see a San Diego State as the national – or Florida Atlantic. And I said it in Florida – because they were beating San Diego State. I said if Florida Atlantic finds a way to win this national championship – that's going to be the craziest thing ever. That would be crazy.
You know, the lowest seed to ever win a national championship was Connecticut from this year.
That's crazy.
And before that, it was Connecticut from 2014. And before that, it was Connecticut from 1999.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but one more thing, to speak of the FAU thing, and you know, we were talking earlier about Isaiah on the chat. That's his blueprint. So I don't know if y'all know that, but that FAU team was – Isaiah's blueprint.
Isaiah, that coach? He was a black dude.
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
He started that for them.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's his blueprint.
That makes sense. Super chat, so you want to go to the next question? I mean, the next topic.
Let me do a – I don't know what this means. Oblivion Radio cannot call.
Maybe he confused with last week.
It probably is from last week. Yeah, that was last week. Yeah, you probably saw that.
You missed it, brother. Sorry.
Yep.
Let you know next time.
Yeah. I'll do this one from Kev because it's related to the basketball. Shout out to hoopers like Clark, Reese, Haley Van Lith, Paige Buckers?
Paige Buckner. Yeah.
Et cetera. Never thought I'd live to see the day where the women's tournament was better than the men's. WNBA got to capitalize with all these young talented hoopers. Hell yeah, yes. They do. Yeah, especially if they are here hooping better than the damn men.
Yes.
Them motherfuckers. There was a video I saw on social where it was one female basketball player. I think she played in the WNBA or something. She was cooking them dudes. And it was like, oh, you think you can guard me because I play in the NBA or something like that was the caption.
Was she at the like the gym, like a local, like I seen that.
Yeah, she was lighting their ass up, bro. Yeah.
Man, I saw that one. That happened once. I was at a gym playing one day. It was like a little private gym thing. And a lady came in and didn't nobody recognize her or nothing, but we got out there and we, you know, said she could play because we needed another person. It wasn't like nobody, you know, one of them things. Man, it was Andrea Stinson. I don't know if y'all know Andrea Stinson, but she played in the Olympics. She played NC State. She played with the Charlotte Sting. Man, she was out there cooking. Like, it wasn't even.
Big man.
Yeah. Man. I was like, oh, my gosh. Man.
I know.
Andrea put that work.
Hey, boy, that's funny. I like Hannah's to see that
looking
a,
crazy.
A lot
I wish
more.
I could have been there to see that.
Yes, that could be like a series. Chicks just going into the gym like WNBA and just lighting people.
That would be that would be dope as hell.
I would watch that. I would definitely watch that. Yeah. I know how niggas is. 100%. All right. NFL news.
All right.
There's a recent report floating around. It says that Bill Belichick has been shopping around Mac Jones. Mac Jones. Question to you guys. Does that mean that we may possibly be looking at a Lamar Jackson in New England for the 2023 NFL season? And do you want to see that?
I'm going to go first.
Let's hear it.
And I'm going to say no. I feel like this shit happens all the time. The speculation, the rumors. And I'm going first because Shelton may know some shit that I don't know. So, but yeah, it's just like when I saw, I was like, oh, here we go, man. Hold on, they're gonna go after Lamar. You're gonna go after Lamar. How about Bill probably just don't fuck with Mac Jones?
That's very possible.
He just don't fuck with Mac Jones.
Correct.
Because did Mac Jones be challenging him and shit like that? Yeah. He ain't used to these young kids, bro. So he just like, man, get this nigga out of here, bro. He'd rather deal with somebody else.
Yeah.
Now I know he's, I don't know what he knows about Lamar Jackson, but that's what I thought it was. I was like, he just ain't fucking with Mac Jones, and he just want to get rid of him and find another quarterback and move on. That's all I took for it. But I know it's fun to suspect the other thing, but that's what I read into it.
Well, the reason why that came up was because Meek Mill reported that Lamar Jackson told him.
Stop.
That's what he said. He put out that Lamar Jackson actually told him.
He's interested in.
That he wanted to be a Patriot. So that's where it came from.
Mm.
And he asked Robert Kraft, and he said, if that's what Bill wants, then we'll pursue it. So that's where the rumor started, and that's why they, going on with this, because Mac Jones talking about trading him. But you're right, though. What you said, because he already didn't like him when he criticized him about the offensive coordinator situation and not being able to call plays and it being, play situation and all the stuff that Mac Jones had to say early on without producing results.
Right.
For Bill Belichick, that's when he was done. And we know Bill Belichick don't play. Jamie Collins got up out of there. He got rid of the people you would never think he would trade. Mm-hmm. He traded them for
Seymour.
Yeah, all those guys who went against the Bill Belichick way. If you go against it, you got to go. And Mac Jones is one of those guys. So, in saying that, I won't put too much into it. It would be fun to see. I want this Lamar Jackson situation resolved because I want him on the team so we can get, preparing for next year, wherever he's going to be, so we can see what's going to happen with that.
There are enough teams out there that need quarterbacks that Bill Belichick would be willing to part with Mac Jones for. Like you said, because the way they challenge him. So Bill Belichick and the Patriot way is, well, if I could get top dollar for someone who I really don't like, and I got Taylor Zappe, who's proven that he could do it.
He'll fall in
why,
line.
Yeah, like, yeah. Why not? Like, why not? Why wouldn't I do it? I don't think it has a lot to do with Lamar Jackson. I still think, like you said, Ken, that there's a collusion against him, and that if it's not the Ravens, then he's going to have to sit out. I don't think that there's not going to be an owner that breaks the picket line, quote, unquote, to say, I'm going to give him what he's looking for. So I don't think it's about Lamar Jackson at all. I do think it's more so about, I don't fuck with Mac Jones. I'm Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And I can make it happen with Zappe, or I can draft somebody in the sixth round and put him in here, and he's going to do just the same thing that Mac Jones do. And people still think that Mac Jones is good. So I can catch and swindle a team out there to buying into him and being like, hey, you know what? He's all right. The Patriots took him first round. Why wouldn't we take him? I'll overpay for him and – now you stuck with Mac Jones.
You don't think Mac Jones is good?
No. Not good enough to be on the market and Belichick trying to yield offers for. Like, he's good enough. If I got him, I'd stick with him and try to make it work. But if I'm trying to sell him to another team and I'm the team that's picking up the phone, there's nothing you can tell me to make me take Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Rob asked which team is trading for Mac Jones.
Yeah, like, there's nothing you can take me to. I can't see. If a backup for the Jets, maybe?
Yeah. Not a backup. He would be a starter.
Yeah, they bring him in for that reason with the hopes of still landing
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers would go 2 years and I could get Mac Jones to come in after him.
Well, I was thinking you said the Colts, right?
I did say the Colts.
The Colts, he could start there.
Yeah, him as a starter.
Like, yeah, that would be a place where, you know, he's young enough. He's proven that he's at least decent as a starter.
The 49ers as a temporary backstop.
Purdy job. Purdy.
Yeah, they already got.
But, I mean, he's not coming back to who knows when, though. He can't
Purdy,
even throw
oh,
football.
Yeah, Purdy is fucked up.
Yeah, like, they don't have no quarterback that's.
Purdy had his
They got Sam Darnold. Open. They have.
I forgot they got Sam Darnold.
The other guy.
But, I mean, speaking of, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
But, let's just say, is Matt Jalen's talent good enough for Shanahan to get something out of it? Or it's just, we can't save him. Like, he's just trash. Like, Henny's trash or whatever. Right.
If I'm another team, I would be skeptical if Bill Belichick was calling me and being like, hey, you can get Mac Jones. Like,
I mean, but
if I'm the Cardinals and Murray is hurt until at least, week 5, 6, 7? Maybe I'd do it, but I'm
somebody said Raiders.
Then they got your boy, Jimmy G.
They do have Jimmy G. I mean, but shit.
What does that mean?
Yeah, they about the same.
Yeah, and the Redskins keep talking about they're gonna go with
Sam Howell. But
no,
I don't
know. Like, if I was the Redskins, I'd rather have Mac Jones.
If I was the Redskins, I'd be made Lamar Jackson my quarterback.
Very much so, 100%.
Yeah,
but if I wasn't doing that, then I would go
because they got. But the only reason I would go for Lamar is because your offense is set. You got great wide receivers. You got a great running game. You got a tight end. You got a lot. They got everything they need on offense but a quarterback.
If I'm thinking outside of the box as well, if I'm the Vikings, I may want him to come. Kirk Cousins got another year, maybe two. I ain't got to draft a quarterback. I got a quarterback who's already got experience. He was in Bill Belichick's system. The Vikings head coach, I think, came from somewhere around the Patriots system. So maybe them to come sit down for a year. I couldn't see one team in the NFL being like, man, you know what? I'll trade for you.
Depends on the quarterback situation. I can't think of any that's desperate right now. But what is he worth? Fourth, third, fifth round?
I was thinking third.
Fourth. Yeah.
Third or fourth. And that's why I said
give a fourth
that's,
for him.
Yeah, that's why I say it's not a big risk.
And if I was the Ravens, I'd give a fourth for him. At least I got a quarterback. I don't know what I got coming in the next season. Yeah.
True. I would definitely do it if I was the Ravens. And go ahead and let you know, shout Lamar.
Titans. Yeah, Titans.
If I was the Titans, I'd do it. Yeah, 100%. Because, again, I don't think that Matt Jones looked bad enough to be like, well, I would never have him on
He's
my
had
team.
Moments.
He's and, had and, moments. And when I – again, his biggest complaint has been, you guys are not providing me with the tools. I can do it. And they're like, no, I'll just go do it. And they're like, no, bro, I can't – y'all ain't giving me anything, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Like, we've seen moments, but is it the offense? Is it the plays? Is the system too complex? He can't pick it up. Like, what is it? Or is it just he just can't play? Like, some people, you like, damn, this motherfucker can't play at all. But he was like, okay, there's something there. We just got to get him in here and find us a –
around the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
All righty. NFL news, that was it. Nothing else really much is happening. Other than, I wanted to run this to – because I seen this earlier today, and it's not on the rundown here. They had a big going on Get Up about the Jets possibly taking a quarterback with the 13th pick, which would essentially do the same thing that the Packers done if they were bringing Aaron Rodgers in by bringing Jordan Love in. And Mike Greenberg went crazy and said that was the dumbest idea in the world.
I agree.
And the other guys up there were like, well, you're only going to have Aaron Rodgers for like a year, maybe two, and you know Zach Wilson sucks. So why wouldn't you get a quarterback for the future, Sheldon?
I would think if they draft a quarterback, that would be trade bait for Aaron Rodgers to try to get something back for him. But Jordan Love is there, and I wasn't thinking about that. So it would make sense to do that, but I don't think I would do it just to make him comfortable so you can get those 2 years comfortably, get Aaron Rodgers in the house, and figure out from there. Because you'll get another shot at another quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Jets.
So, yeah.
Like, you're going to be great, fella.
Yeah, right.
Can you say to be dumb?
Yeah, like, who are they going to draft? Who were there any names thrown out?
With Hooker from Tennessee.
Oh, hell no, nah, man. Hell no. Nah. Don't
Because that what the point was, the point was, he's hurt, so you know he's not coming in the first year threatening Rodgers for his job. And the second year, Rodgers would be on his way out, so he would be able to teach him, and then he'd come in the third year and just take over.
Yeah, but is he a first-round pick?
Look, well, they're saying now. They're saying the Vikings are looking at him hard at 28.
They are. He's truly talented now.
Hooker, I don't know about
he just got hurt. He's dope. He just got hurt.
If I was a Vikings at 28, I'd take him, yes. I wouldn't – nothing above that. Like, I wouldn't put any stock or egg in Hendon Hooker's
basket. Because he ripped that Alabama defense up. And that Alabama defense is tough. You got a couple top 10 picks on that line. And he ripped that defense apart. And among others.
First round pick.
What? Him?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
It got to be late. It got to be like one of those Lamar Jackson spots.
I'm not taking him at 14.
Why not?
Because
the only reason you can say that is because of the injuries. You're talking about playing on the field. And that's the thing. That's I don't know why.
Well, we're talking about college and pro, though. Like,
right,
I
don't know why they do black quarterbacks like that.
He don't look like a pro
quarterback. I don't know why they do black quarterbacks that way. A lot of people feel that way about the black. We talk about how Mac Jones is kind of –
Mac Jones been in the NFL, though.
That was some bullshit.
Yeah, okay. He definitely shouldn't have been.
He shouldn't have been picked that high, but we've seen him in the NFL is the only difference. Hooker – It's a difference between playing college quarterback and the windows that are open and a pro quarterback. I ain't seen Hooker like, you played in the SEC, but those throwing windows and what I'm seeing you put out on the field, I'm not sure if that can go in the NFL.
Not for
me to take you 13. Now, if I take you 28 and you can sit on the bench for 2-3 years and work at it,
why do people feel like black quarterbacks can't play?
I don't think it's just black quarterbacks.
Yeah, because it's like, three other ones that probably
say the same thing about Josh Allen. I say the same thing about your boy, Will Levi, whatever the fuck his name is.
I mean, but we're not saying that about – did we say that about Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud?
Everybody said about Anthony.
I know, but we're fine.
They said about C.J. Stroud, too.
Man, I know, but we're fine with them being taken – they're first-round picks.
They first-round
picks. It's Hendon Hooker, bro.
Hendon Hooker was better than all of them in college.
Nah,
Hendon Hooker played better than all of them in college till he got hurt.
I have to see it. And again, it ain't because he's black. It's just because it didn't jump off the page. Like C.J. Stroud, even going up to that Georgia game, I was like, I don't know. But when I seen him in that Georgia game, and of course it's just one game, but then now I can go back to the tape and look at it more realistically.
Hendon Hooker up until injury.
He's better than Levis.
Yeah.
My thing is, look, I said late 20s is fine.
Yeah, 28 fine.
He threw for over 3,000 yards. He had 27 touchdowns.
13th pick, Shelton.
Two interceptions.
13th pick, though.
Two interceptions.
13th pick in the NFL draft,
I'm going to haul these stats. Let me look at these other guys. Let me look at some of these other guys.
And it ain't even – a lot of that has to do with –
Y'all know I love CJ.
A lot of that has to do with, too, it's so hit or miss with quarterbacks. Like, it's a 50% chance if he's going to be good or not, regardless of anything that you can pull up from his college
career.
And
that's every quarterback.
Yeah, every quarterback.
But they talk about his leadership skills. The way they talk about him is so impressive. His coaches and everything.
You're giving me the Will Levi stats now.
No. Leadership. Oh, I ain't know.
Locker room presence.
No, the difference is I gave you the numbers and that. So he has the numbers and that. Plus, he's got the victories to boot. Will Levis can't speak on beating nobody.
I would try to get him in the second round.
I've seen Hendon on a top stage take out some top players.
Nah, bro. If I was the Saints and maybe could get him late, the Bucks could get him late, if something like that.
I
wouldn't take
Saints.
Him in no top 15, 20 pick, no.
I like him with the Saints.
Yeah, I do think that it depends on the spot, especially if it's late in the draft and you don't have any other. If everybody else isn't really greater than him and he just fell to you, like, I don't know where Seattle's picking, but he could be their quarterback for the future. You got Geno coming back right for a year or two, mm-hmm. whatever. Then that would work for them because then he can legit sit. And he can sit for the Jets too. It's just the draft capital is what I'm looking at more than him deserving of a draft spot. True. I just think 13 is too high.
Bring
in Aaron Rodgers, you can go in and get some other people for him. And Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. gonna have a fit.
Yeah, they said he need a left tackle. They said that'd be a career staple at left tackle right there at 13 for the Jets. So it would be similar to the same thing that the Packers did and just like not help him in the draft, which mm-hmm. would piss him off.
Yeah.
So that was the reason against it. Any other draft news?
I think that's all I saw.
Because we're going to go to the NBA next.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Just shout out to keeping Will Levis at the top 10. We'll go
ahead. he dropping now.
Yeah, he going down. Now. People coming to their senses.
Panthers going to save him.
They are. I think they are.
That's funny. All right. The NBA, they signed a new collective bargaining agreement. It includes three major new things.
Huge.
Yes. NBA and WNBA players can invest in teams through mutual funds.
Oh, that's dope.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Gives them ownership in the teams. NBA players will not be penalized for using weed or marijuana. It's removed from the drug testing list.
Oh, shit.
Yes, sir.
He gets high all the time.
Stephen A. Smith says the weed is not going to be a factor anymore. And lastly, NBA players must play at least 65 games to receive major individual awards like MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, First, Second, and Third Team, all NBA. Hearing the new collective bargaining agreement stuff, Ken, what stood out to you the most about this?
Well, the weed thing stood out the most, bro, because that shit, yeah, we almost there. They just got to make all the other shit right. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they got to make it right. I was listening to, man, when I be listening to these podcasts, you know, one of the things I take away, white folks did a lot of drugs and they don't mind talking about how much drugs they used to do, bro.
They just love to talk about open, the acid bro. And yeah, all I the LSD. Heroin.
I used to do LSD in the 70s, man.
Yeah, man. Anyway, but yeah, they be taking that shit like it was nothing. But yeah, so that's interesting that they eliminated weed.
They said the players been pushing that for a while.
Yeah, so that's telling, not from a basketball perspective, but just from a U.S. perspective. I'm just thinking about that overall. I thought, just looking at ESPN, what they have is that they're trying to something about curbing the ability for high spending teams,
mm-hmm.
Like the Warriors and the Clippers.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm. The load management thing, the tourney thing that they're doing, making that permanent, that's going to come in and trying to figure out a way to have those games included into the stats, which is stupid. But I think once they got that figured out, we'll go.
I'm interested in that because it gives you another reason to watch during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives, it's like just a newness thing to it. Like we were talking about with the women's basketball, is this something new? Is this something that you haven't seen before? So when you start telling me, oh, there's a tournament in the middle of the season and I just think that'll be great.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think the biggest thing, though, when I look at this, are the 65 games eligibility requirement for awards. Instead of looking at this and saying load management is an issue and the players don't like it, that's why they're doing it, we're going to try to force you to do something you already don't like doing.
Just cut the games down.
What happened? Just cut the games, bro. What happens when they start caring about that shit? Now, the way they will make it, or way they probably care about it now, is probably tied to money,
yes.
Right? You probably get money, so everybody mm-hmm. loves money, right? But if you're one of the top stars, how much money you need? Do you really need, right. You know, if you're like LeBron or Jason Tatum or whatever, do you need that extra bread? Everybody, you know, most people you always want it, but sometimes, you know, it's just, I'm good. You know, so what happens, like, one thing I've learned about this generation is that the things that used to motivate me and mine don't not move the them same. Motherfuckers the same.
Not the bro, same, bro.
They do not ooh, move the same, bro. Man. And so, yeah, so these kids coming up, bro, and you got to think about this. Like, if I'm forecasting, I'm looking at these kids are now making money in high school. Now they're making money. Now they can make money in college. Mm-hmm. So they coming in straight. So I don't give a fuck about a postseason award if I already got deals and all this other stuff.
Yeah, plenty of
postseason
money.
Award, extra checks.
Some of them planning to get their mama house, and they already did.
I made $5 million in college.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm good. Right. I'm straight, man. Yeah. If they got one, financial advisor doing great, and if he's not a robber. So, but I thought that was interesting. Instead of working on a way to reduce the number of games, which everybody would want, even us, I would want to see less games.
Yes.
And I think the players want it. So, and it would create a more sense of urgency. Every game matters even more now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting that that's how they're going to push back. And I think, did they do a new TV deal? Because they got time to figure out how to make up the extra bread that they would lose.
They were about to, but I don't know if they did that.
I didn't see a new TV deal, no.
Did y'all see anywhere in there where it said that they're getting rid of the – it's going to be like positionless awards?
Yes.
I did see that too. I didn't really know what that meant.
They talked about the best five players at each.
Yeah. So instead of picking Embiid or Joker, they both can make it now on first
team. It's the French dude that made this a problem. What's his name?
Wimby.
Gobert. Yeah, Gobert. No. He's the one that the reason that this is a whole thing because
really?
Yeah, he wouldn't even be an all NBA player if he wasn't a center.
Oh, so they like
yeah, but
yeah,
since he's a center, yeah, there, like yeah. He's like since he's a center, he's not a top 15 NBA player.
I'm Gobert. Hot right now. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, y'all changed this shit just so I could be
it's
in
called
it.
The Gobert.
Oh hell no.
It's the Gobert rule.
Exactly. Hell no. Bro. Gobert rule. I'm mad as hell. I get no love.
He was eating off of that and getting like max contracts and shit like that because like I'm the best center in the league, but that don't mean I'm not the top 15 player.
And I'm glad they did that because we do see some repetitiveness at positions. Mm-hmm. That deserve the award of first team. They just
why is this dude on this list?
Yeah, the best players in the NBA deserve to be on that list regardless of position.
And it's tied to their money, so I respect it. Mm-hmm. Like though that is directly correlated with them being able to receive a max contract or not.
And also, I don't see it on this list. I was trying to look for it, but can't they invest in like the gambling stuff now?
I ain't see that. I don't know. I doubt it though. Because gambling, that's
still different, but like the gambling sites, I think they can. But I'm something like that. I have to look and see. I saw it somewhere because I thought that was kind of. I thought the same thing you thought. I don't know why I thought I saw that. I could be wrong, but fact check me on that one.
Okay.
Because I didn't see it just now, but I know I saw it before somewhere.
Okay. Any other things about the? It said there's a rumor that the new CBA allows players to invest in team sports betting and cannabis.
That's what I thought. That's what I saw.
Cannabis brands and sports betting brands. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting twist.
All right. So they also, in that CBA, we thought that the one and done was going to be done away with, but it wasn't. They kept that in place. They wanted to make sure that the one and done stayed. How would that affect the college game and the NBA?
Oh, that's the Bronny rule, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. But Bron thought it was going to change. That was him his whole thing. Yeah, he was saying, I'm going to stick around because I want to play with Bronny, thinking that Bronny could come straight out of high school. But now, like, you got to go play somewhere else, Bronny.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But he's going to make a lot of money.
That's why he already made $7 million.
Bronny going to make a lot of money next year in college.
He's got $7 million in NIL deals already. Bronny.
That's crazy.
Damn. Bronny does. But
you ain't
I'm
even
got
to go to the league.
I'm not
you ain't even
got
to ask your dad for no money.
Yeah, I ain't even got to go to the league.
I'm good, Dad. I'm good.
I don't need that.
Damn. He ain't need all that.
Right.
But
his
daddy is. Yeah, his daddy and them dudes.
Hey, man. Rich Paul. Hey. Yeah, salute to him. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. It would have been interesting if they did get rid of it. It seems like they're still trying to feed some players to college. I would like for them to get rid of it because I think it would improve the college game.
I agree too.
Because at this point, if you're going to college and you're playing in college, you already know what your career is going to be like, bro. Mm-hmm. The only way you're going to get to the NBA is you got to do at least whatever number of years you have to do to prove that you can play or have enough talent for them to take. You got to be Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
You got to be a Buddy Hield type of thing in order to get there. And because, the talent just isn't there fully fleshed out and developed.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, there used to be a rule, like if you declared it affected your college eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
But now since everybody is getting paid for it, you should be able to just declare, hey, if I don't make it, I can just go to North Carolina.
Well, they do that anyway because now you can do that as long as you don't hire an agent.
But now you can hire an agent, right?
You can? Yeah, you can hire an agent.
You can talk to agents now. So that's what I'm saying. So now they should it seems like just do away with the rule, because if I don't make it, I just go to college. I can make money anyway. I got an agent already through NIL, so what's the problem?
True.
All right, that was our rundown for tonight for the Dead End Sports Outline.
All right, a couple of super chats we have here. We got Joshua. Now with a good sample size, let's revisit who won the Pacers-Kings trade. Clearly the Kings. Mm-hmm. And I still like what – this is an interesting trade in hindsight 2020, because I know I had different feelings on about it earlier. Those feelings still stand in the sense that Halliburton can play his fucking ass off. Halliburton wouldn't be able to play his fucking ass off in Sacramento.
Fact, right.
And they did the best thing that worked for the organization and the team and overall roster construction. So, and Sabonis is talented, and they just had a logjam, so it worked. But you have to look at the Kings, because they're obviously in the playoffs. So, but for the Pacers, they got a guy they know can play. And they got a lot of talent, actually.
They do.
Pacers. They do. Yeah, Nembhard and some other guys. So they got some things they could build on. Except, will they be able to do it?
Yes.
And that is the thing. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I'll give it to the Kings right now to be able to get Sabonis. Sabonis provides them stability and, you know.
He has a triple-double tonight, too.
Yeah,
I give it to the Kings. Tonight he has a triple.
Because right now it's paying off for the Kings. They're the number two seed, three seed in the West.
Yeah, two. Yeah, so, I remember when that trade happened. I took a lot of heat on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt that it made sense for the Kings to do what they did, because I've always loved Sabonis. I thought Indiana was crazy to get rid of him. I mean, even though I liked Halliburton, I just thought what Sabonis did was close to what – Sabonis is like Joker-like in a sense.
Yeah.
And what he's doing as a big man – it's funny because them dudes, like them big men now, are much better with the basketball, and – him finding the open man, him and his assist is crazy. And
they were saying those big guys overseas versus here, once they figure out that you're going to be big here, they only train you for the post. They said overseas, where those guys grew up as Sabonis and Joker, regardless of how big you are, you going through all the skill set drills up until you're 18, 20 years old. So they talked about that.
Yep, and shout out to Mike Brown, man. Picking up Mike Brown was huge for that, because the offense he runs and the way he gets those guys into the game, because it's not just Sabonis. I knew Sabonis was going to be fine. Sabonis is what he is, and Fox can score. We know that.
Mm.
But it's the other guys that's stepping up. So you got Barnes finally playing basketball. He looks really good and really comfortable right now. He's getting to the basket. Kevin Huerter from Atlanta is shooting lights out from outside, and you got Murray that's stepping up shooting from outside and, you know, getting to the basket. So you got guys that are contributing from all over. You got Mitchell coming off the bench as a backup point guard that's really aggressive and plays good defense. He's, you know, he's undersized, but he can get to the bucket. And you got some athleticism on the bench. So that team is constructed really well, and they got shooters on the outside. You got a big man that can pass and find the open man, and you got a point guard that can slash and score. They got everything that you would want in a team to be successful. True. So,
yeah, and it's like, if you're Halliburton, will you be stuck in a King situation? Meaning, like, that's what they did. Like, they would have all of this talent. They didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
Finally, somebody came into the Kings and was like, yeah, we got all these guys, but none of these guys are helping us win games.
Mm-hmm.
So we need balance. And so they went and got – and shit, even Sabonis was stuck in –
yep.
Purgatory in Indiana.
Yep.
So it was like, you know, I'm the only good thing here right now. So Buddy Hill is pretty much a shooter, you know, and they bring him off the bench now. But they got some good pieces, but Miles Turner ain't it.
No.
And who else they got? They got a
Nembhard, Mathurin played.
Nembhard, Mathurin. I think he's a rookie, right?
Yeah, he is a rookie. Yeah. He played really good this year. They got another dude. Neesmith.
Yeah, it was a big guy, center.
Smith.
Not a center.
The guy from
Jake Smith. Yeah, I think it was Smith.
He came from Phoenix.
Yep. But you know, he's just a big guy. He's just a modern day version of Dale Davis.
Yeah, that's what he is.
So, but they still have some work to do.
Yeah, they do.
But nevertheless, they got, I think, a cornerstone piece in Halliburton. They got Mathurin, who shows he can play at this level. Nembhard can put in good time on the court and give you productive minutes.
TJ McCollum comes out the bench and plays good,
McCollum,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got your shooter and Buddy Hill. So what are you going to do about, you know, that about those big guys? But they just re-upped Miles Turner, I think.
They did.
So, I mean, rebound, block, shots. I think he leads the league. Well, he at one point was leading the league in block shots. So, I don't know. It worked out for him. So, it's almost like it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So, yeah. Salute to them. Marty McFly, members chat. We appreciate you, bro. We need Manny back to talk baseball. I watched as kid, but haven't in years. This year had me thinking about getting back into it. Short games. It's funny you mentioned that. I'm actually going to holler at Manny about doing baseball stuff for the channel. I was thinking about that today. It just hit me. So, Jalen Smith is his name.
This is a perfect year, too, to tap in.
Cause yeah. Like said,
games on average are 30 minutes shorter.
That's crazy. They did some rule changes, right?
They added pitch clock. You could only throw pickoff passes twice, and they made it the bases bigger to increase stealing chances. Mm-hmm. So throughout spring training, they said on average each game is down 30 minutes per game.
And they got some young talent that I remember from last year. That
they do.
Baseball really made a big adjustment this year to try to get people in. Mm-hmm. So, and I follow the Braves. I don't follow. It's hard to follow all of baseball.
I just started to really and the only reason is because betting. But
I just started following the Braves maybe a year and a half ago when they had their World Series run. Mm-hmm. And I called myself trying to get into more of it, like following baseball like I do the rest of the sports. And it's just so much stuff that you can only really follow one team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like the sport. Mm-hmm. I love it, especially when I'm playing fantasy baseball, which – the whole thing crept the moment the game started. I didn't even get a team this year, so I'm actually sitting out. I'm kind of upset about that. Kev, when Embiid loses in the second round again, can and Spike, will y'all finally go hard on him or give him another pass and blame someone else like Doc? I think I've taken shots at Embiid saying that he's probably just going to stay in the second round again.
Yeah.
Like, what does it matter? And I think I even said on this show, it's like, yeah, so what does it matter if he's just going to go out again? None of that stuff matters anymore. The only thing that matters is getting at least to the conference finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know a couple weeks ago I made a declaration here that he was having the best season and it should be the MVP. So, yeah, to his point, I would go hard on him if they don't make it past the second round because he's supposed to be the best player in the NBA this year. I got good talent around me. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able – of course, the Bucks are a good team, but at least 6-7 games where I competed with them.
They can beat them.
Second round, it shouldn't be like, you know, that's a disappointment.
Yeah. Bucks and the Celtics are going to be tough for Sixers to beat, but they do have an opportunity to beat them. It's just the depth scares me with them. But, you know, of course, you tighten the rotations in the playoffs, so it shouldn't be that big of a deal. It's just 6-7-8. Those guys are going to be tested in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to see it at. And, you know, James Harden – we already know what James Harden is. He's a curse, too. So, you know, it's tough to rely on James Harden.
If he can
Harden,
stay healthy, it should be
it's numerous. Crazy. We've had a whole season. We really don't talk about James Harden.
At all. That's the first
at
time.
Oh, he ain't been hurt or anything either. He's been playing all season. We're just like, oh, James Harden.
He's like,
all
right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that when you had the game on earlier. I was like, damn, man, James Harden just hasn't been a story.
Yeah,
even from his play. Haven't even talked about how great he's playing this. That he's really just a role player.
Yeah, he is.
That is insane.
It's crazy.
Just but Embiid got to start. He got to put up. He got to start doing something, bro. Yeah. Like enough's enough. Shit. When Olajuwon came in, he went to the finals. Like in his first year, I think as a rookie with the Twin Towers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, LeBron went in first 4 years and stuff like that. You know, so Dwayne Wade, like some of these guys go get it in. So
you can't blame Ben Simmons no more.
Yeah, there's no Ben Simmons to fall back. Fucking damn, Luka went. Fucking Trae Young went through you to get. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Went through you to get there, and he just got in the league.
Yeah.
So you got to get there, bro.
With Luka and Trae Young going.
Yeah, you got to get
that's
there.
A great point.
So that is it for the super chats, but there is two things. I like how, and these will be brief, I'm curious to see how the Lakers finish their last four games. And Shelton, I don't know how healthy AD gonna stay. But man, he's been fucking killing it.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy for 6 weeks, they might win it.
The thing that is, well, no. But
they can't win it.
I'm not there with you, but I think they have the right roster. They don't have the chemistry. And AD's health, even though now there's this counter coming out, he's actually been healthier than a lot of other people, blah, 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 whatever. It is what it is. We know he at any given moment it could happen. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed is that it now goes through AD.
Yeah.
LeBron has become a Robin, a second thought.
Yes.
The torch has officially been passed. And even Darvin, what I didn't like what Darvin Ham said was that if he wants to, he can do it. Referencing AD. And it was just it was the wording of it that sounded weird. But yeah, it was like, yo, AD, you gotta take us home, bro.
It is possible that the Lakers make it to the 5 seed and play the Suns in the first round. So you have Kevin Durant, LeBron James.
I would love that.
Oh man, that'd be
fire. I would love it.
The Lakers are 40-38. The Warriors is in the 6th seed. They 41-38. The Clippers 41-38. The Suns 43-35.
Come on, Lakers.
Yeah,
that would be
so,
a great first round series.
I want to see that.
But they're playing good. Nobody's talking about them. Westbrook's gone. It's weird, really weird, because Westbrook is a Clipper now, but yet nobody talks about the Clippers.
And he had 30 the other night. He had like 30 and 10 one night.
It's just that limelight of fucking the L.A., bro, is crazy.
It is.
He goes to another L.A. team and nobody give a damn.
Same building. He walked right across the hallway.
Yeah, same building. I ain't even went down
the same
street.
Ass dumb shit.
Right here. Same gym, same court, everything. Just different color uniforms.
Nobody still fucking up. There goes the show, man. A couple of years ago, I was like, nobody give a fuck about the Clippers, bro, and it's proven. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting that they've struggled all year and they're starting to find the groove. He flipped that roster. That's all I'm going to say about L.A. because I know y'all get tired of us talking about the Lakers.
I like what Reeves have become, though. I really do.
He's been – yeah, he's really settled in. So, Darvin Ham has figured out something with that roster. The second thing, the Warriors. Steph turning it on, bro. I said to myself, when he hit that three and he did the meme buck dance, I said, oh, shit, they're going to win it all this year. That was my first reaction. I may have been overreacting.
I think the only thing that I hold apprehension towards it with is I'm not sure if Draymond is as good or if Klay is as good or if any of those guys. Like, Steph is generational. I feel like he's going to show up. But a year after a championship run from the rest of those guys, I don't know. I don't trust it.
I think they're good enough. I think Klay is good enough to give them enough moments when they need them. Draymond definitely is cerebral enough to make an impact on the court. Mm-hmm. Jordan Poole is settled in. They're getting Anthony Wiggins back. Kuminga, I be talking shit about him, but he's into his role. You know, he's been starting lately. But more importantly, Steph is back. And we know what he does when he's on the court. He's a threat all the time. And he just opens up everything. And they're starting to kind of get into their thing now. So they're a team to watch out going into the playoffs.
It's just a matter of them getting hot, because the unfortunate thing about the Warriors, and they lost to the Nuggets, a shorthanded Nuggets team a couple nights ago on Sunday, and I watched that game, and it was actually ugly. Steph didn't play well at all.
And the Warriors won?
They lost. Oh. The Nuggets beat them with no Luka, with nobody but Jamal Murray for the most part. Joker didn't play at all. So they were shorthanded and they lost to that Warriors team. But the thing is, they lost on the road, which they've been losing on the road all year.
Right.
So until they get that right, I'm reserving judgment. The only problem is they rely on shooting. You live by the three, you die by the three. And we know that to be fact. We're just so used to Steph hitting all these shots that we get lost in the sauce.
And we forget he has cold stretches too.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does. And you're right. I believe in the Warriors still. I do. I think that everything's going to be all right. But watching those games still does scare me, because I'm like, man, if he ain't cooking, and Klay ain't
cooking.
Yeah, Klay, you know, Klay get going every now and again. Klay gonna get you about 22.
Does Jordan Poole still play for them?
He does, but Jordan Poole, I know, right? But Jordan Poole he's not been played that well either down the stretch.
Maybe in the playoffs he'll come on.
Hopefully, bringing Wiggins back brings some life to that team and some energy, gives them some you know, more intensity on the defensive end, a more aggressive person on the offensive end, and helps that team to wake up and liven up when it matters the most. Because the West is still wide open, as we know.
Reports did come out that after 22 games, Wiggins is expected to come back. So
yes, he is back in the city, they say, and you know, he has to meet with the team doctors so they can see where he is condition wise and make sure he's ready to get on the court before he gets on the court.
Did you ever figure out what happened to him?
Nah, I didn't. I didn't, man.
All right, man. We appreciate you guys joining us. One thing I will say about the NBA playoffs, this is one of the first times in a long time we don't know or have no expectation of who are going to be the final two teams. And I'm excited about that.
No, but I tell you what, I am waiting to see what happened with the Mavs before I say something.
True.
And I'm waiting.
Mm. And that's what I was going
to say. Kyrie said he tested free agents.
Yeah,
I know.
Kyrie said, I don't give two fucks. I'm going. I'm leaving, y'all.
This team has failed completely off the board, and we all talked about how bad of a trade that was. But it would be unfair to blame Kyrie. Kyrie has played
really well.
Now, I know y'all are.
You know what
I'm saying. There's certain people who are blaming him, and it's unfair. Because Kyrie has played basketball. He showed up every night. And they're talking about shutting them down for the rest of the season.
All the reports
Both. All
the reports out of Dallas have been that Kyrie's been a great teammate. He's been doing everything that he could in his power to keep it going straight. So it ain't his fault.
Yeah. They're one game out, and they're talking about
shutting
Luka
and Jason Kidd got a problem.
Oh, they did when I was trying to catch that last 1.9 minutes.
Luka, damn.
Oh, look at Boston. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyway, so yeah. But that's the media narrative, the media agenda. We've kind of highlighted that. It's important to pay attention to what they're doing to Kyrie, even though the team and the organization are saying something counter to that. It just shows that there are agendas, and when you go against certain things, that you will forever be punished for
holding that crown.
Yep. But we are going to – God damn, 52?
Oh, shit. MVP. Yeah, 52-13, 20-25. Oh yeah, they got it.
Yeah, if he don't get it, something wrong.
This was the game.
Damn. I mean Boston too.
And Boston the number one seed. 20-25. Yeah, 52 points.
PJ scored 11. They talking to him for what?
I see.
They must be asking about Embiid.
And I guess he made a play to win the game. I gotta rewatch this game because we were recording. But I think he made a steal to win the game or something else is what they were saying. So, M Beast, I like that.
Beast is good.
But yeah, they're definitely probably going to give it to him just so they won't give it to Jokic and to calm the black folks down.
Yeah.
They've seen how rowdy we can get. Shout out to Angel Reese. We stand by you, queen. Mm-hmm. And I will be watching. I'll be watching. I don't know why I'm lying. I probably won't be watching. But
get the rest of these classless pieces of shit out of here.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, they're saying Tucker made three straight threes down the stretch.
PJ Tucker?
There you go.
He'll do that every once in a while.
I wonder why they were talking to him.
Yeah, he'll do that. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. We'll catch you guys later. We are out. Peace.
Peace.